In this edition of So Ill, we hear from Shayna Crystal about the impact of advocacy for making our local environment safer and healthier for all living beings.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the So Ill podcast, where we talk about the environment and how it affects our health. My name is Justin. I am a fourth-year medical student.
Hi, my name is Camille. I'm also a fourth-year medical student here at SIU.
And my name is Alana, and I'm also a fourth-year medical student at SIU.
We've got a special guest today, and we'll have our guest introduce herself.
Hi, everyone. I'm Shayna Crystal. I'm co-director of Rewild Your Campus.
Welcome to the show, Shayna. We appreciate you taking the time to be here. We know it's been pretty busy trying to get all this together, but we really appreciate you taking the time.
Of course. Happy to make the time to chat with you all.
So we know, like, you're representing Rewild Your Campus. Rewild, to my understanding, is a larger organization, and Rewild Your Campus is kind of like a branch of that. Is there kind of an origin story there, or like how did Rewild Your Campus come to be?
Yeah, there's definitely an origin story. So Rewild Your Campus kind of got started as a student-led movement at UC Berkeley back in 2017. Basically, my co-director, Mackenzie Feldman, was on the beach volleyball team at Cal. And one day, her and her teammates showed up at practice, and their coach said, okay, today, if the ball rolls off the volleyball court, don't go get it. We'll just use a fresh ball. And the explanation for that is because a herbicide had just been sprayed on the lawns around the court. And Mackenzie grew up in Hawaii, where there's like a lot of agricultural testing of chemical use, and kind of had a little bit of knowledge around the harms that pesticide exposure can have. And so this kind of set off like an alarm bell in her brain. And she was kind of like, whoa, why are they spraying a toxic pesticide that we shouldn't engage with right around this volleyball court? And are they spraying these chemicals on the rest of campus? And so her and her teammate Bridget and the rest of the beach volleyball team kind of got together and proposed to the grounds team that they would hand pick the weeds around the volleyball court as an alternative to the spraying. But then when they started to consider kind of maybe the wider spread use of pesticides on Cal's campus, they realized that this wasn't a feasible solution, right? The students couldn't weed all of campus. So they started a campaign. They had a lot of meetings with the groundskeepers, and ultimately they brought in an organic turf specialist to train the groundskeepers in how to maintain the lawns and landscapes on campus without the use of toxic pesticides. Kind of once that happened at Berkeley, they realized that this actually wasn't just happening at Berkeley. This was happening at all of the UC schools. And so they started UC-wide advocacy effort to try and get the UC system to ban the use of glyphosate for everyday use on the campuses and to get the UC system to reevaluate pesticide policies. And that's when I got involved. I was a student at UC Santa Barbara at the time, and I worked with Mackenzie to kind of launch a campaign similar to what she did at Berkeley at UC Santa Barbara, where I worked with my grounds team to reduce chemical use on UC Santa Barbara's campus, and also worked with Mackenzie and other students in the UC system to advocate for a reform of chemical policies for all of the UC campuses. And we were successful in that advocacy effort, and the UC system kind of paused glyphosate use on all of the campuses and created the system-wide pesticide oversight committee, which was put together to totally reevaluate pesticide use on all of the campuses. And when Mackenzie graduated and I graduated, I think we both kind of felt like there was clearly so many more schools where this was an issue. And so we created this nationwide movement to try and work with students and schools to reduce and eliminate pesticide use, and then to also look at ways that we can rewild campus landscapes as well.
Wow. So you all were still in college when you all were kind of starting these campaigns.
Yeah. We were students when this all started. And I mean, like, turning this into an organization and working with other students happened once we graduated. But I mean, Mackenzie was very much a student when she kind of started this at Cal, and I was a student when I got involved at UC Santa Barbara. Yeah.
That's incredible. That's incredible, especially just to be that young and to have that much vision and to kind of pursue that. It's really inspiring. Did you all have any other background in the environment, or was this kind of like just noticing you know, while you all were playing, like while Mackenzie were playing volleyball, that there were pesticides being used and it was harmful. Was there anything other than that that kind of pulled you in this direction, or did you have any other background besides that?
It's a good question. I mean, personally, I was studying environmental studies at UC Santa Barbara, so I definitely had an environmental background. I know Ken's is studying similar subjects at Berkeley, also studying food systems, which I feel like is deeply related to agrochemical use in our food systems. And I think was doing a lot of thinking about alternative food systems and ways that we can improve our food system, which is, I think tied to chemical use. And like I said, I think growing up in Hawaii, she kind of knew a bit more than the everyday person about agrochemicals and the ways that they impact our environment and our human health. So I think kind of with that background knowledge, like she kind of thought when she heard that they were spraying, like, oh, whoa, this is really bad. And I think to me, when I first heard about kind of the work that Ken's was doing at Berkeley and was kind of offered this opportunity to get involved, I definitely, you know, thought a little bit about pesticide use. And I think kind of grew up in a household where we like prioritized organic food. And like, I knew a little bit about it, but I think once I learned more, I was kind of shocked about how little I knew and how little like toxicology was talked about in my environmental studies program. And the agrochemical use issue wasn't really one that was discussed, I think. So I didn't know as much as I thought I did, perhaps. Yeah.
Very interesting that you both came from the environmental background. One question I have is, you know, since you guys knew kind of a little bit about environmental policy, and of course, Mackenzie having like the additional experience growing up in Hawaii, what was it like kind of learning the ropes of advocacy and like petitioning larger university systems and collaborating with people from like a coalition of different special interests?
Yeah, I think that's a really great question. I think we did a lot of learning by doing. Like at Berkeley, for example, when Ken's and Bridget and the students there kind of first began trying to get in touch with the grounds team, they sent like a lot of, one might say, more aggressive emails. Like, we really need to talk with you right now. Like, you're exposing us to toxic pesticides. This is really not okay. Like, please respond. We need to meet. And it wasn't until they sent an email that was like, we really appreciate all of the hard work that you do to make Cal's campus so beautiful and like all of the, you know, labor that goes into that. And we'd really love a chance to sit down and have coffee and just kind of learn about your job and ways that we as students can support you and collaborate. And like, then finally they got a response. And I think we see that at a lot of schools. So I think we've done a lot of learning just by trial and error through our own work to kind of come up with the formula for success, I think. And yeah, I mean, we definitely had to do a lot of learning when it came to how to like write a petition and do advocacy and get in touch with stakeholders. And I think there were definitely some folks who kind of worked at some other organizations that helped us out along the way at the beginning. And now we get to do that to other students, which I think is really cool.
Speaking of kind of getting to do that with other students, you guys, you know, one of the big things with Rewild Your Campus is making sure that, you know, other, particularly undergraduates, but also graduate students, if they're interested, are able to attend, I believe it's only two nights, a two-night boot camp around twice a year to learn about, you know, how to start campaigning for the end of pesticide use at their university campuses. How did that kind of come about? Like, how did you realize, like, oh, we know enough about this process to be able to teach others?
Yeah, we kind of initially, when we started as a bit of a more formal organization, we had a fellowship program. And like when I was involved at UC Santa Barbara, I was technically a fellow in kind of this initial fellowship program cohort. So when we were running the fellowship, we would have like monthly meetings with all the fellows, and we'd do kind of like a monthly educational seminar with the students. And then we kind of realized that that was a bit of a limiting program because students would reach out to us wanting to get involved. And we'd say like, okay, you have to wait till next year's fellowship. So we kind of reoriented and got rid of the fellowship model, but kind of realized we had these 12 pieces of curriculum that we had built, and we still wanted to be able to give students education and meet the need, because it's hard to launch a campaign about something you don't know much about. And because, like I said, like, I think there's not a lot of education that happens in school about pesticides and the way that they impact our own health and the environment and kind of the history of their use and environmental justice, and also ways to kind of turn that knowledge into action. We felt like it was important to give students some of that kind of background knowledge before we asked them to then go and talk to stakeholders on their campus. So we kind of condensed what we had been teaching the fellows into a kind of mini curriculum of sorts that we could teach kind of more students than just, you know, 20. And so we started this ground up advocacy boot camp. And in past iterations, it has been 2 days. This summer, we're piloting a 1 day just because, you know, I think it's a lot to ask folks to come on Zoom 2 nights in a row for, 6 hours over the course of 2 nights. So we're kind of trying to cut it down a little bit and squeeze it into 3 hours and are going to kind of see how that kind of feels. But yeah, I mean, I think this past January, we had, I want to say like close to 170 people register and like maybe 50 or 60 on, which I think, yeah, like really helps to show. I think there's a lot of appetite for the knowledge and also just like, I think reaffirms to us that kind of reorienting like this was the right move because we're able to reach, you know, 60 students or 120 students a year, basically. And that's a lot more than we were reaching before.
Yeah, so the three of us actually attended the advocacy boot camp. I think it was in February, and it was amazing. There was a lot of good teaching that you all provided, and we ended up, for our group, we watched the documentary Into the Weeds, or the Dwayne Lee Johnson story. You know, for the people who don't know the story, it's about a groundskeeper who developed non-Hodgkin's lymphoma from exposure to the Roundup pesticide. You know, and I think I kind of have two questions, but I guess one question is, did Rewild Your Campus have any role in kind of supporting that, kind of his case and everything that he went through with that whole situation? Was Rewild involved in kind of advocating for him at all during that time?
It's a great question. We weren't involved in like necessarily advocating for him, but Mackenzie attended the trial in San Francisco. I think it was kind of serendipitous timing because she had kind of just graduated and had just done all this work at Berkeley. And then to kind of see this very real, tangible kind of story about this groundskeeper who was very much impacted by the same chemicals that they were spraying at Berkeley and the same chemicals that they spray at a lot of schools across the country, glyphosate-based herbicides, I think really helped to inspire her to kind of bring this to kind of larger audience and start what has then since become Rewild Your Campus. And kind of she formed a pretty close relationship with Lee and worked with some other environmental groups to bring Lee to Hawaii to do some talks. And kind of as a result of that, the superintendent of public schools announced that they would be banning herbicide use on public school grounds in Hawaii. And Lee's on our advisory board and continues to kind of help advise us as we kind of do this work. And he definitely stays involved and supports us. So I guess we like try and uplift and support him, but he does a lot of supporting of us as well. Yeah.
That's great to hear. I guess my other question was going to be, you know, we kind of talked about your like seminars and your advocacy boot camps. The three of us were in a meeting yesterday, and part of our discussion, you know, as medical students was how do we incorporate kind of more environmental education in our curriculums? And so, you know, Alana played a part in coming up with an idea of, you know, as we go through cases, kind of trying to draw correlations to how the environment could have impacted some of these health-related issues. So a patient with asthma, for example, is exposed to air pollution, or you know, even pesticide use, like just pesticide use on a medical school campus, or you know, whatever the case may be. I guess how would you go about incorporating some type of, you know, obviously that's one way, but like how would you go about incorporating more environmental education, maybe in a medical school setting, but in any other setting as well?
I mean, I think there's like a lot of ways to tie almost anything back to the environment, right? I think you're talking about health conditions. I think there's like a lot of ways that our environment impacts our health outcomes. And I think people don't always kind of get that deep to the root, right? Because I think, I mean, I'm not a medical professional or expert in any way, but I mean, I feel like my understanding of the way that our health system tends to operate is very like symptom treatment and not necessarily always doing a lot of looking at root cause. And I think like pesticide exposure can totally be a root cause for health outcomes. And I think we see that when we look at like the health outcomes of people who grow up in really heavily agricultural areas, that there's a lot of chemicals applied or otherwise. And with our boot camp, we have this graphic that we'll put up at some point during the boot camp that like I think has a lot of the different issues that kind of intersect with our work. And I feel like that's kind of like a model for, I don't know, maybe like all education incorporating environmental education into it, because it's like, yeah, well, this issue is about pesticide use and, you know, native plants that can be tied to biodiversity or soil health or workers' rights or health outcomes or public health or pollinator health. And I think people can have like these niche interests, and if we're able to like tie what we're doing or whatever y'all are doing back to people's interests, they'll be more interested in getting involved. I don't know if that really answered your question, Justin.
No, it definitely helped. I mean, like, I think there's a whole process of how, like, tying things in. And then there's the aspect of introducing it to faculty and staff, like the advocacy, like the campaigning side of it. Like, you all were sending emails to certain people or setting meetings with people. So, you know, a lot of what you do, like just by your example, it's kind of a blueprint for going about it, like making some sort of change or, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, I think with the bootcamp, like, we teach the basics of the advocacy stuff through the lens of this issue, but it's totally stuff like those principles can totally be applied to any issue. Yeah, certainly. And I think, like, to what you're saying about kind of bringing that stuff into academia, I mean, it's challenging. Like, I think we see this at schools all the time. There's like such a disconnect between operations and academia, and like, academics are generally academics and they're not necessarily ones to like be advocates or apply the stuff they research, right? And I think that like we see that so often at schools, and so it can totally be a challenge to try and get folks who are used to spending their whole day thinking to try and get them to do some doing. Academics don't come for me, but I don't know.
So do you do anything specific to get like schools involved that maybe weren't thinking about some of these things, like pesticides, like outreach and such?
Yeah, we do so much outreach. We kind of have like cast a wide net and see what catches policy at the moment. But I think we're also really right now trying to focus on working with schools that are really excited about working with us, because I think there are some schools where administrators and, you know, staff members have no interest in like discussing chemical reduction. And there's a lot of schools where folks are really excited about it. So I think kind of right now at this juncture, when we're trying to build momentum and try and like build a really strong case for why schools should do this and like kind of get a lot of examples going, so that hopefully those schools that are a little less excited will kind of see that this is the trend in higher ed and begin to follow in suit. But yeah, I mean, for schools that don't know about us, that we haven't worked with yet, we do a lot of like cold outreach, and then also trying to get students from those schools to come to the boot camp so that there's at least like some chatter in the student body about this. And those students will hopefully send a couple emails to staff on campus that can open the door for us to begin working with them.
So is there anything that maybe people outside of schools and stuff can do, like in homes and gardens, that you have recommendations for, things to be considerate of?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think like the issue of chemical use isn't unique to schools by any means. I think homeowners use a ton of chemicals in their yards and lawns. And we've been doing a couple presentations recently to like groups that kind of more target homeowners. And when we talk about alternatives to chemicals, the first thing I always talk about is just learning to accept the weeds at the kind of baseline. Just like, there's no need to be covering our lawns in toxins just to fight back weeds. And I think beyond that, like, obviously we should be encouraging homeowners and folks who have a little bit of green space to then plant natives. But at the very least, like, yeah, I think kind of challenging that notion that weeds are bad and trying to maybe have a bit of a conversation around like, why is it that we kind of strive for this weed-free lawn and landscape? How can we kind of begin to see this as like a relic of, I don't know, like colonizers and like trying to have dominance over nature? And like, how can we begin to like decolonize aesthetics and kind of rethink what we think of as beautiful and move in a direction that kind of more embodies a landscape that promotes human and environmental health and biodiversity and stuff? Yeah, but I think for like homeowners, like, I would say like, yeah, plant natives and for people at home, yeah, planting natives. And then I think kind of outside of that, I think maybe like, I know organic food can be more expensive and isn't always accessible, but I think the more you kind of learn about our food system, the more, as much as one can prioritize, you know, like opting for produce that supports farmers and shopping local and supporting local farmers and all that good stuff too. And then I would also say, like, advocating, because, right, like, I think almost everyone is part of some kind of institution that has a bit of a quote-unquote campus, whether it's you're a student at a school, or you live in a dorm, or you belong to a place of worship, or you, I don't know, are part of, like, a club that meets somewhere where there's some grass. So someone somewhere is always managing that landscape, generally, or there's a contract to hire someone to manage it. And I think the more we can kind of begin to try and challenge the aesthetics of the places that we go and the campuses that we, I don't know, show up to and have whatever we do there. Sorry, I lost my train of thought at the end, but I think you get it.
Do you have any other advice or anything for listeners who just want to further embody the spirit of Rewild?
But yeah, I would encourage folks who want to learn more to come to the bootcamp, and then hopefully, like, I'm always happy to meet with folks kind of one-on-one outside of the bootcamp. I do a lot of meeting with students to try and, like, help them figure out how to start a campaign on their campus and reach out to their grounds team and get something going. So always happy to do that. Yeah. I'd say, like, follow us on Instagram at Rewild Your Campus. Yeah.
That was my next question. I was like, do you have social media anywhere we can stay up to date with what's going on? So perfect.
Oh, yeah.
All right. We just want to say thank you so much for taking the time to interview us or interview with us and give us all this awesome information and sharing all of the wonderful work that you've done.
Of course. Thank you guys so much for having me. And thank you for the thoughtful questions.
Of course. Thank you.
Thank you, Shaina.
Shaina Crystal is the co-director of Rewild Your Campus. She helped to achieve a glyphosate ban at all 10 University of California schools and helped to spearhead the Green Ground certification for ecological landscaping at school campuses. Tune in next time for another enlightening episode of So Ill. This podcast is a collaborative production between the SIU School of Medicine and WSIU Public Broadcasting. You can find more episodes at wsiu.org.